sampled them from him, but it's not the same bass line.
You can get in serious trouble for copyright infringement.
You got an organ going.
Yeah? Copyright is not doing crap!
Copyright? What's copyright?
It's the right of the owners to control.
Right now!
You know what time it is.
Welcome to
the copyright.
It's Maryland.
What up? 11 o'clock. It's Thursday night. Mm-hmm. You know what time it is.
The copyright experiment.
Yep. We're back for another show. It's a copyright experiment.
101.9 FM in Vancouver and CITR.ca worldwide.
Mm-hmm. CITR influencing the world from our humble studio on UBC campus.
Word.
Yeah, this is the copyright experiment if you've never tuned in before. We talk about issues, intellectual property issues related to music and music in the online world, issues related to that. We also play all exclusively freely available music. So if you like free music, and I hope you do, then you're listening to the right station.
And you can also head to our blog, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com, to download any of the music that we play and listen to previous shows.
Mm-hmm. And as my friends have informed me, and I am very much aware of, I've been a very terribly lazy person and not updating the blog. But you know what? I'm going to do it this weekend. This weekend.
Yeah,
this
I got weekend. Some time, Tim. I can hit that up.
Yeah? Okay. Well, we'll update the blog. If you prefer to get your podcast fix in through the internet, we'll get that fixed up for you soon.
I mean it is kind of late, and because it's so late, we play some explicit content as well, so just to give you a warning with that.
Yeah,
so
we will, probably. I think. I don't really...
We usually do.
We usually do,
or at least the music we play.
Yeah.
It's all from the internet ghettos.
Street music.
Internet street music.
Yeah, the hood of the internet. But yeah, so we got a new topic for today. We are talking about... something that kind of gets, it's looming in the shadows of everything we do, yet not many people think about it, and it's not something that gets talked about enough. And the reason that I want to talk about this is because I was reading recently that Andy Warhol, who died in the 80s, they found his, well, they've had his Amiga computer for a while in a museum. But recently, they took an effort to actually pull the data off the disks that he was using for his computer and recover whatever files he was working on before he died on his Amiga computer. And this actually took an incredible effort by people working on the project, because a lot of the hardware that was used with the computer is defunct and you can't use it anymore. You can't really pull the data off the floppy disk with any other way, so you kind of have to... either through emulation on current computers or by like repairing old computers, it's really an effort to get data that's really old off your computer, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
And some of the software he was using wouldn't even let him save.
Right. Yeah.
What he had.
Yeah. Some of the old software. I mean, well, it would save onto. I mean, so back in the 80s and early 90s, I guess, one-stop computing they didn't have hard drives, so you'd put in a disk that contains the application you have, and then there'd be another slot for a disk where you could save data. But some applications didn't actually use that second floppy disk for data, so you just save your things into the application.
So it's kind of like N64 or something, for those of you who played that. You know, you'd save onto the cartridge.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
More ghetto, though.
Mm-hmm. Or the really old way of saving, where you get, like, outputs a text file, or you have like a little code that you put in to get to the certain level or whatever. Yeah.
So this is interesting to us for, I guess, a few reasons. But to start off,
you should go look up this stuff too. We'll post a link on the blog.
Oh yeah,
actually, because they found some like paintings that he did, digital paintings. Which is fascinating that, like, this long, 30 years later, we're finding new art by Andy Warhol that he made on his computer. It's really fascinating, and you can see them all online. So we'll link you to that. Anyway, continue.
I was just saying, and this kind of brings us to interesting sort of thoughts and discussions we were having last night.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, sort of the transience of digital art. So that's, you know, at pretty much everything we play on this show is only available in digital form.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if everything were to get wiped out right now by some, you know, catastrophic event, there would be no way to get that data back. It would just be,
right.
It would just be gone.
And it's not even that it has to be wiped out.
Yeah.
Like, if we just lost electricity for some reason, if all the dams in BC were destroyed, all the power plants, if people disappeared, then electricity would go out and we'd have these things and no way to access it.
Yeah. It would be like trying to access, you know, these discs from Andy Warhol, but even more obscure because we'd have no way of getting into it. We have no way of accessing this data.
Mm-hmm.
So it would all be there in some sense, but it wouldn't make any difference because we couldn't get to it.
Right. And this kind of highlights the fragility of modern digital media. And this is kind of a trend that, like, media theorists have noted from, you know, the beginning of, like, technology and media, that, you know, as we create more complex technology, the ephemerality increases. So it exists for shorter and shorter periods of time along with the complexity of your medium. And the culture around it moves faster as well.
Yeah, and we can definitely see that in the music culture with even just the stuff that we play. You know, there's such a high turnover in music,
mm-hmm.
That not even just the fact that we can't access it, but just the fact that the culture is moving so quickly. It's like, okay, song's big for like however much time, and then
right.
The next thing comes along.
I mean, now it's called viral culture, but it's really, I mean, it's always been like that. It's just a lot faster now than it was before.
Mm-hmm.
Charts are kind of less relevant now, and I mean that's why like charts like Billboard are using like YouTube counts as a way to influence their charting numbers, which is a little off topic, but things are moving really fast, and it changes the relevance of how important it is for data to be held onto for a long time. It's not for really us in our current culture to say, well, this, we don't need to keep this for longer than X amount of time. And then that's kind of what historians do and people who are looking in cultures of the past decide, right? You want to, the things that we value, we don't really have a good perspective on now. So it's important. I mean, it's important to archive things in a proper way so that the people in the future can, you know, build on the things that we've done so they can understand cultures of our time. And, you know, any ask anybody any history buff and they'll tell you how important it is to have a proper way to archive the culture of your time.
Yeah, and I mean, I was just reading a book today where they're talking about a philosopher where they have none of his original writing. They only have testimonies from other philosophers that he hung out with.
Hmm.
And I just find that kind of interesting because it's like, you know, this guy was, you know, probably said a lot of really neat things that could have been interesting to us even today.
Right.
And we don't have any record of it. We don't know. We have no way of accessing it. It just doesn't exist pretty much anymore. And that could happen to what we have as our culture right now and our media and our art. You know, it could be there, and then sometime from now, we no longer can access it. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, and from the point of an author, it's really important to realize that our legacy beyond our lives exists in the things that we've done and that we make available for future generations. So if you think about how this philosopher, for example, I mean, people are trying to see what he wrote about, but it's really hard, and it kind of damages the legacy that he could have left for future generations. And I think that's something everyone is interested in on it, just like on a human level. So it's important to kind of talk about these things and the ways in which digital distribution may differ from physical distribution in that sense.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of brought me to the idea of thinking about copyright laws, which, you know, the copyright laws are getting longer and trying to protect these things, but to even copy some things is often a copyright violation. And
right.
if you don't copy it, then oftentimes the data will itself sort of disintegrate within the whatever it's being held in, because these, you know, flash drives, CDs, they don't last forever. They have a finite length. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of ironic to me that we're trying to, you know, promote culture or promote the economy of culture by using copyright, but then at the same time we're also inhibiting its lifetime and future impact on whatever culture comes next.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess we kind of gloss over this, but yeah, the media that we use to store digital data is so much more fragile than physical media before it. CDs don't last for more than 5 to 10 years, even in good storage conditions. And like you said, flash drives are just a bunch of transistors, and it's very easy to, if one of those gets flipped, it could corrupt the whole file on it. Hard drives are very fragile as well. If you've had a computer for more than 5 years. Chances are likely that you've had a hard drive fail on you before, and it kind of comes out of nowhere. So these are the kind of things that really threaten the longevity of digital data. And like Jeff says, the solution is to keep your mediums up to date, to transfer things to file formats that are going to have longevity. And to be aware that using certain file formats have limitations like that. But at the same time, some of our copyright laws, like the Digital Millennium Copyright Act or similar legislation in Canada, that, for example, stop you from ripping a DVD that has copy protection on it. These are the kinds of things that stop you from enjoying the content you need in other formats, and kind of inhibits the economy of culture.
Yeah, and so I guess moving forward, the question would be, you know, are these laws, well, these laws are relevant in the sense that they're being used for some economic gains or purpose.
Right.
But in a sort of looking out for the future historians, it could be in our best interest to look at them, you know, in that sense as well, mm-hmm. to the other considerations which we give it, you know, being freedom of access and things like that, mm-hmm. Sort of the democratization that we normally talk about. So this is kind of, a different take on media and copyright than we've had before.
Yeah, I mean, copyright, it doesn't really, in the lawful sense, it doesn't really discriminate between whether you're taking something for historical purposes or it is for personal enjoyment. I mean, there are fair use restrictions, but I mean, like as we've talked about before, fair use is a hazy law with the arguments that can be made on either side, and we often see in fair use cases that the team that has the best most money to spend on lawyers can influence the case wildly. So it's unclear whether how you transfer these things in the future will be protected by copyright law, or whether copyright law will actually inhibit you from allowing your kind of legacy to live on in future formats.
And I think part of what we'll see here is kind of what you're saying with you know, the people that have the money are going to be the ones who are going to be able to archive things more and get them out into different formats, and things that the people that are controlling these you know, massive media corporations or whatever, and they will be the ones that we'll see in future history, which is distorting in the same way that, you know, giving certain websites higher bandwidth is distorting. It creates a false image of what the culture is like or was like.
Right. Well, I mean, yes and no. I think that's a bit of a pessimistic way to look at it, for sure. I mean, there's definitely a vested interest for those companies to ensure the longevity of their intellectual property, because that's how they make their money. But it's also, there are also organizations that are interested in preservation that, you know, don't have monetary motivations. A lot of government organizations, or like I was talking to my friend earlier today about the Internet Archive, which automates a lot of web page saving. So you can compare to web pages at different times through the archive. There's an interest for corporations to do as well. And for example, Google really tried, probably did the biggest digital archiving project in the history of the world with Google Books, when their goal was to archive digitally all books that exist in the world, like books that only exist in as a single like manuscript in monasteries in Spain and stuff like that. But that brings up a whole nother set of problems, because now you're putting all this data that was originally available to maybe a small group of people, but theoretically available to the world. And now you're putting it in the hands of someone who's making it practically available to everyone, but in lawful sense or theoretically only restricted to the person who's actually doing that.
And also much, you know, as we talked about earlier, much more fragile data format.
Yeah, definitely.
Depending on how well it's, you know, it needs to be upkept continuously to stay in its format.
Right. And one thing I think about when I think of what future people may how they may look at our society and our dependence on digital data preservation, I feel like in the future, people will look at, you know, world culture and see, oh, you know, they started writing things down. They wrote things on stone. They started writing them down. Then they made like physical things to distribute, like records, and we can try to see what's in them. And then things just stopped, and like they didn't do anything. And it almost seems like our culture just disappeared. And they, you know, the amount of paper they printed just dramatically dropped, and the amount of little discs that they created dramatically dropped. And it kind of worries me that all this fast-moving culture that we're experiencing now will just become irrelevant just by the fact that you can't access it.
And with that, I think we'll end our talk segment.
Yeah.
We'll let you ponder your...
ponder your place in the digital world and what that may look like.
What's that word? Starts with an E. I can't...
I'm not sure what you're thinking about.
Anyways, we'll let you ponder that while we go to some commercials and we'll be back with some music.
Well, yeah, we'll be back soon. Got a bunch of tunes to play for you guys. So, keep it locked on 101.9 FM. This is the Copyright Experiment. We're going to play some free music when we get back.
And once again, if you're interested in hearing this show or past shows, once again, you can go on copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. And check out our previous shows. You can download all our links to whatever. It's all there. It's great stuff. And we are back.
In fact, powered by the Canadian Undergraduate Technology Conference is a conference that brings together visionaries, leaders, and enthusiasts from all industries. The conference lets you personalize your own experience from a broad range of breakout sessions and unique workshops. Conference will be held on May 4th at UBC. For more information, go to infect.cutc.ca/Vancouver.
My name is Paul Cross. I coordinate the postgraduate radio broadcasting program at Humber. A lot of students leave university with their degree and a real passion for radio. They come to us at Humber College to get the skills they need to work in radio.
Considering an exciting career in radio? Radio broadcasting at Humber College in Toronto is the only postgraduate radio program in Canada. Get yourself on air and job ready in under a year. Learn from industry professionals in the country's biggest radio market. Pursue your passion. Visit mediastudies.humber.ca.
And we are back on CITR 101.9, Copyright Experiment. Tim's about to get into the mix here. Got a bunch of free tunes. It should be a fun mix as always. What are we starting out with, Tim?
What are we starting out with? Track by Wilm.
Track by Wilm.
New single by him called Changes. And then after that, we got a remix by Dave Lux from
Dave Lux remix. Dave Lux is from Montreal. You about ready, Tim?
Yeah, let's do this.
Here we go. We'll be right back. Grays right here. Faz remix before that. Check my Bass Coast. Buddy coming in. Love this guy. For those of you who don't know, this is Body, B-O-D-H-I. The song's called L-V-E. Bravo on the remix.
Love and love.
Here by Cuffed from the Raw label in Montreal. Just came out. his Porsche. Hands on the ball. 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 Remix for you.
Just ain't no stopping when I hit that bomb. Hit my car, got that bomb weed in my dog. Got them bomb seeds in my garden. Valley girl, Dolly Parton. If that shit don't be popping, got them dope fiends in Compton. Got my nigga rolls and my bitch dough. And motherfuckers keep popping. Molly, broccoli in my pockets, cocking. Oxes in my pockets, brolic. Smoking heavy in my Impala, Chevy parking and hit top. And it's that gangster instrumental. South. Original endo.
Power.
Butter hoes and sexy clothes. They nigga never touch the bankroll. Let me get that. Ugly nigga with a gang of bitches. Hoover Street, nitty 50 business. And my bitch whip with my L suspended. Big pippin', misleading women. Extra innings, been good at pitching. Blue khakis, I'm loped out. Got naked hoes in a dope house. Put them hoes on a DVD. Show them hoes with this pimp out. I'm pill popping. Feds is watching. I hop the fence. I don't need cocker. Pass the DUI, but my gun loaded. If a man made it, then my hands sorted. If the sun shining, then my bitch know it. Come holla at your young scholar. I'm top dog. I'm rock roller. I
gangbang and I spit lava. I drink booze and I make fools. I went so hard for these new shoes. I go so deep in the vocals. I lay it down on this pro tool. I'm real nigga, you pro fool. World tours of you local. How you say this shit on the menu? Give me large fries and I'll be cool. Put your hands down by your ankle. Make it clap for me for this bankroll. I'll gladly poke on that bingo. Frontalito straight backwards. Hit my weed and I own you, baby. Might buy you something that head good. Now let me pinch on that donkey lady.
Rock that bitch. Kurt ain't go where I play the rings. Chain zone, the fame zone. But I'm still good with that bottom bing, boy. Haka, my foreign chicks love coming to America. They go back like I never thought a problem would have me coming to America. Blast off, I smash off like broom. Broom with a bitch as easy as blues. Clues, dirty flow, need zoom. Brooms now. Diamond lane, everything. We hitting everything like we were juicing. Minute Maid, knock it out the park. Another home run, then I run home. Cali mine, play with mine, make it run home. While you on the phone line, body nigga jump you. What the fuck you? No, it didn't ever like that, but you saying that, so it kinda make a nigga want to. Me off the weed, little bitch, off a bump and a fuck, then I pump, then I keep on a pump, then I dump, then I'm on to the next. Count to the home with the chrome to your neck. Fuck all that. Fuck all that. Nigga try to turn up one more time. Niggas thought I was done with the rapping. Fuck that Saudi, one more line. Nick, where you at? Roll some more five. Shit too bomb, won't pass that up. Diamond Lane gang. Problem, cash in, bad luck.
Hold up, bruh, don't forget the luck. Four finger ring, cause the squad is rushed. Square can't touch me. Homicide on the track, man, it must be. Town Ave, original rep. Yeah, door air, extra out like a field goal. I'ma show you where a field goal.
Bitch, your swans knock your door. Damn, swans call my phone. They just won't leave me alone. I can serve them at their home. No, I'm still getting them bricks from Mexico. Just call my phone. Back then, I ain't want the nigga. Now they all on.
Baby girl, I'm ready to go. I sold about 3 zips a day. Sold about 200K. Got rumors, max FS and K's. First boy run up on the blood. Then he get wet, you shit for days. Show your sympathy, a pretty bitch. We made it where you lay.
What you got? What you got? I got 10 pounds pushed up every day, every day. I got niggas that send them blocks around your way,
around your way.
I got block stocks, I got real estate, real estate.
What you want? What you want?
I got what you want. I'm standing over the block, little shawty, I got what you want. As soon as I finish the pound right here, I'ma take a trip to London. With everything you don't got, I got everything you want.
Every day I do this, what to do already. Just left London, just left a trap house full of trap money. Trap. On the strip, pull a fan to make it rain, honey.
Beam a gang for Giotto, bitch. I read that every day. I got Migos in the kitchen cooking, yeah. Looking next to ops and check the count on the blow, don't pass. This ball in leash with me, so what's up, go watch your
what you got? What you got? I got 10 pounds pushed up every day, every day. I got niggas that send them blocks around your way,
around your way.
I got block stocks, I got real estate, real estate. What you got? What you got? I got 10 pounds pushed up every day, every day. I got niggas that send them blocks around your way,
around your way.
I got block stocks, I got real estate, real estate.
We'll be right back.
Copyright Experiment here on ZITI 101.9. This right here is Route 94's My Love, Stay Loose on the Flip. Before that we had Ball Out Young Leash and Capo, and Salva with a whole gang of guys. We'll be right back.
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
My name is Natasha. I am a robot now. I am playing with my breast again. Nothing to do, nothing to do. Sometimes I listen to Misery Hour with Hans Close Wednesday at 11 before midnight. I don't think I like it.
And we're back here on ZDR 101.9, the Copyright Experiment. Gonna get right back in the mix. We got a couple more songs, and that'll be it for us. Technical difficulties.
Remix. Nice, I try to play numb to shit like that, but I'm cool. I try to play numb to shit like that, but I'm cool. I try to play numb to shit like that, but I'm cool, cause this is our love. We all have obsessions. Oh, sometimes. Cause when I'm on the road, I be on the road. I mean, you can hold me down, but I'm about to hold. Riding with my niggas, we the one that shows. Riding with my niggas, we the one that shows. Riding with my niggas, we the one that shows. Running through the city like I know you know. We'll be right back.
Cuffed on the Babyface remix. Before that, we heard Alfred English, and before that, Party Next Door. Been the Copyright Experiment on CITR 101.9. Our lovely friend Auto DJ will take you through the rest of the night, because Pierre is feeling under the weather. And yes, we are having some of that in Vancouver. Have a great night. Enjoy life.
You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR Vancouver. It's whatever. Hip hop, R&B, jazz. It's whatever. Reggae, soul, mainstream. It's whatever. News, sports, and entertainment.